to me, it was just like, I feel like we're just going in two different directions. And he agreed. Hey babes, welcome to Codependency Alchemy, the podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa, and I am coming dressed in all black for the topic today, which you all voted on very clearly. You wanted an episode on the breakup, so hence my energy and my outfit for today. I even had to put the hood up because I was like, I cannot believe I'm going to talk about this. But I know that our breakup is literally the only reason why I am able to do this work that I do today and hold these conversations that I hold around codependency and the mother wound. So one of my greatest gifts in my life, while also being the most painful experience of my life. So where do we start? If you listened to last week's episode where I shared my dream that I had and my patterns that I've learned around ways that I push away partners, then you got a little bit of a glimpse as to the reason why Justin and I broke up last time. But I certainly didn't give you all the details. But alas, here I am to spilleth the tea around what the fuck went down in our relationship. So first, I'm going to take you back to March 2019, because March 2019 was our four-year anniversary, and we were extremely happy, I think. And I was putting a lot of pressure on our relationship, which I don't know if you've learned from me at this point, I tend to do. I tend to be a control freak. I tend to put a lot of pressure on things. I'm so much better now, but man, if you would have met me 4 years ago, it's just too much. I was a very intense person. And so the pressure that I was putting on our relationship at that time was around marriage. I wanted to begin starting a family with him, and I was a teacher at the time, and so one of the societal pressures that I felt that I was then putting on our relationship was, if I were to conceive, if we were to get pregnant, and I was a teacher, that parents or other people would see me a certain way because I wasn't married. And I didn't know that at the time, but I know that now. So I'm just going to name it because that was real. And that's probably whatever pressure you're putting on your relationship now, it's probably because of a pressure that you're feeling from somewhere else. And then you're projecting it onto your relationship. So I'm just saying, maybe bring some curiosity around that, because that has mostly been true for everything I'm putting pressure on my relationship for. So with that being said, I was putting a lot of pressure on us needing to get married, and Justin was not feeling like that was the route that he wanted to go. And so in true unresolved trauma Alyssa fashion, I found a way to manipulate the situation. I'm so fucking cringy. It is like making me crawl out of my skin talking about this, you guys. So I decided to manipulate the situation. I'm using language that may be triggering to some people, but I'm saying it because I needed to see it for what it was in order for me to start making change. If it's triggering or activating for you, I trust your sovereignty and autonomy and ability to know like what is for you and what is not for you. So take care of yourself however you need to while listening to me talk about manipulation and patterns and tendencies that I was doing. But this is what was true for me, and I needed to see it like this in order to make radical change and take ownership. Because at the time, I didn't know what I was doing was manipulative. I didn't know that I was projecting pressures that I had felt from society onto our relationship. I was completely oblivious to what it was that I was doing. And some of you out there might be as well. So I'm just going to speak very bluntly to it because it's been extremely supportive for me to take ownership and responsibility and like take my power back and actually begin to experience a healthy relationship. So I guess I felt the need to add that little disclaimer for whatever reason. So where were we? Back to where I probably was covertly manipulating our anniversary. I bought myself my own ring. Because he was like, I don't want to buy a ring. Rings are silly. They cost so much money. I'd rather spend money on something else, which all makes sense. Totally valid. But I took that as, you don't want to buy the ring, so I'll buy the ring. So I bought myself a ring. It wasn't like anything crazy. But I bought myself a ring and I was like, okay, we're going to have this ceremony and it's just going to be a spiritual ceremony and it's just going to be the two of us. We're not going to do it like... We're not going to get ordained. We're not going to go get legally married, but we're going to have this little ceremony, just him and I. Again, like, I don't know what I was trying to prove. Prove to who? Like, it was something that I could use as a way to basically help me be perceived in a positive light. If someone were to ask, like, oh, are you married? I could be like, oh, yeah, we're not legally married, but we had this, like, ceremony, you know? Like, just... Are you crawling out of your skin? Are you cringing for me? Because, like, I could vomit right now. So we did that. Justin couldn't be more removed from the situation. Like, I wanted to record it. I wanted to have, like, all this documentation. And he was very much, like, not in it. Like, He was there. He was present. He wrote on the piece of paper that I wrote on. He signed it. I signed it. But he was being forced. Let's just say that. I was forcing him, just like I had done for the last 4 years in many more facets, forcing him to do something that he didn't want to actually do because it was going to make me feel better and because it was meeting a need of mine. Never asking, how can we do this together in a way that feels good and supportive for both of us? No, no, no. Wasn't doing that. I was just like, this is what feels good for me. You're going to do it. So we do that. That's March 2019. I have a ring. We went out to a nice dinner. And I wish I still had that paper. But I think that paper, we called it Soul Union. We named it like Soul Union at the top. And we both like wrote like how we were going to show up for each other and what we were going to, like how we were going to... honor one another in our relationship. And I think that honestly was like a soul contract. Like that set our shit on fire. It was like at that moment when we both signed that paper, even though it might have been like unconsciously, our souls were like, all right, time to get this shit going. Let's begin to tend to all the fucking issues in your guys' relationship because you can't move forth and do what you say you're going to do in this contract or in this union if you got all this bullshit in your relationship. So basically from that point forward, everything started like falling apart. I was really depressed. Justin was really depressed. We were basically just moving through the ebbs and flows of our relationship. I really wanted to conceive and he was just kind of like there. He was not really like super into it. He didn't care either way, which was causing me a lot of grief. And then it was not much longer. It was like April. So it was just not even a month later. I was late, which never happens. I am super regular. And so I was late and that made me think that maybe we conceived. And obviously I was wanting that. So I was excited. And this is how I remember it. I don't know if I have blacked out certain parts of this. I don't know if I have even made some of these things up. And I want to name that because parts of me feel like I remember it in a way that makes me look good. I truly think that that is a possible thing that has happened in my brain. So I want to name that. But I remember telling him that I was late and that maybe we had conceived. And what I remember him saying is something like, how could that happen? And I think a wounded part of me was just hearing, how did you let this happen? How could you do this? How could you let this happen to us or to me or whatever? And so immediately it was like a flag for me where I'm like, okay, we agreed that I was going to get off birth control, which to me is like a choice that we have decided that if we conceive, like we're prepared for that. This response that I was getting, which could have just been like fear, right? Like it's a scary thing. Even now, if we were to conceive, I think that we would both have this like identity crisis, right? This moment of fear of stepping into a new chapter that we don't know. It makes absolute sense. So I feel like at that time he was responding just like how, you know, a lot of people might respond to something new. And I took that as this person's not ready to have a child with me after 4 years. Then do we even want the same things? Like, does he even actually want to have children? Is this something that I'm forcing him to do? Because I was like, do I want to have a child with someone who doesn't want to be present to be a parent? Like, absolutely not. And so, yeah, I took that and ran with it. And I don't think that that was wrong. I think that it was valid for me to have concerns around his response to that. And when I brought it to his attention, I'll never forget. It was in the morning. We're laying in bed. And I was just like, you know, I want to live in Bend and raise children. Do you want that? And he was like, no, I don't want to live here. I want to live in a city. And I don't know if I want to have children. And it was funny because in our bedroom at the time, there was like this wire that went up the wall and went two different ways. So it was like two wires go up the wall and then they separate and went into two different directions. And, you know, like last podcast episode, you make meaning out of what you want, right? Everything and nothing has meaning. But to me, it was just like, I feel like we're just going in two different directions. And he agreed. So we had a very amicable breakup. It was so gentle and soft. And we, you know, went our separate ways. And it wasn't long after that, maybe a week's time, you know, he agreed that he would move out. I would stay in the apartment. And within that time, he didn't feel the same. He wanted to be with me. He wanted to have kids, like, but it was very graspy, like he was clinging on to something because he was afraid. And something came over me that was just like, not like this. Like, this feels like if I said yes and stayed, that what needed to get worked out would not get worked out. And if I'm being even more fucking honest and cringy, I was getting attention from somebody else at around that time. And so the part of me that liked the excitement of something new was very much leaning towards exploring something new with someone. And so there was a little bit of both happening, both like the graspy, intense energy of Justin didn't feel right to say yes to. And also the wounded part of me was getting activated by somebody else who was, you know, I would come to find out was actually just a trauma bond. And there's a lot there. I feel like I was going to add that into this podcast episode, but I can't. I just can't. That's too much for one episode. So I will note to talk about that situation if you guys want, but not talking about it here, but the trauma bond was a huge healing experience for me in and of itself. That's where I learned the majority of my patterns and my dysfunctional tendencies was through that, which got me ready, which prepared me for getting back together with Justin. So Justin and I, when we broke up, had no intention of getting back together. There wasn't like a let's take a break and then let's come back together and revisit. Like there was, it was just a very clear, clean cut. We did life together. It was beautiful. And we're going to go our separate ways. Because like, remember what prompted it was he wanted to live in a city and not have kids. And I wanted to live in our hometown and have children. So it's like when you want such differing things, then how can you make that work? It just felt so like objective, like we just want two different things. So let's honor that. And because we love each other and respect each other, we're going to honor each other's dreams. So yeah, Justin had moved out of the apartment. My sister moved in. And because, as you've heard in our, you know, getting together episode, like we were best friends, we had the same friend group. And so as you can imagine, because we were in the same friend group, we would see each other, we would run into each other. It wasn't uncommon for us to potentially be at the same place at the same time. And before we had broken up, we had actually bought plane tickets to go down to San Diego to see some of our friends. So that was another little conundrum that we had to play with, because it was like, we want to both go see our friends in San Diego. We don't want to cancel that. But also we're not together, so is that weird? And our friends truly came through that with that whole experience, because more people were like, let's just make a whole friend trip out of it. So it's not just Justin and Alyssa going to see a couple friends down in San Diego. It's like a group of us. So that was really awesome. I'm super grateful for them. They were just, they're amazing. We love our friends. And so we made a whole friend trip out of it. And so you guys, I brought my journal to this recording of the episode because that friend trip illuminated so much for me. And it was the start of this journal. Like I bought the journal right before getting on the plane. And I want to share the poem with you that I started this journal off with. It's also one of my poems in my book, Healing the Mother Wound. But that trip really illuminated so much for me because I saw a version of Justin that I hadn't seen for so long. Like, it's going to make me emotional thinking about it. I saw the version of him that I fell in love with, like the one that was just so silly and fun and that I could laugh with and play with. And I really sucked the life out of our relationship. I really like sucked that life out of him and myself with like all these pressures that I was putting on ourselves to like look and be and seem a certain way, and was constantly in judgment, like judging our relationship, judging our love, judging him as a person. And what that does to a person is so fucked up. I'm just gonna say it. It's fucked up. Like what I did to him was fucked up. And I didn't see that until seeing him on the plane. And I was seeing someone and he was obviously seeing someone because we were like texting, you know, almost the entire flight, which was hilarious. Imagine, you guys, imagine sitting next to your ex-boyfriend on a plane while you're both texting your boo things, like heart emojis and kissy face emojis. And like, it's, you know you're looking over at their phone to see who they're talking to. Like, you can't not, right? Like, that's just, you kind of, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think it is. And he was just like, smile on his face, so fucking smitten. I was like, wow. And so was I. I was just like, wow, look at us. Like, we're just so much happier. Damn. And so I'm going to read this first poem. I'm serious, you guys. This is like page one. If you're watching the video on YouTube, it's like title page, my name. I did set an intention on the first page of this journal, but then I wrote this poem. Yeah, July 2nd, 2019. So I'm going to read you these. I'm going to read you a couple pages because I learned a lot. And at this point, we had been broken up for maybe a couple months and hadn't really seen each other very much in that time. Our friends had gotten actually pretty good at, like, he was either there or I was either there. And anyways, we hadn't really seen each other very much before that. So I titled this poem Codependence. I wrote, "This word keeps showing up around me. There has become this hyper-awareness regarding the current belief I harbor inside of me. I find myself grasping for codependency. In my work, I receive this from the children." I used to be a Montessori teacher, for those of you who don't know. "In my previous relationship, we gave this to each other. We masked it as love. Now I have myself. Myself has no interest in finding dependency within. It's desperately looking for it everywhere. You, over there, please find a reason to need me. I provide so many wonderful things. All you have to do is hand your independence, will, and self to me. Let me be the keeper of your spirit so that I can feel important, needed, worthy, and loved. It's a trap. Don't let me fool you. And if I'm honest, an eternal hell for me. I've been trained to fool you into submission out of my own trauma and fear. I have created a person thirsty to take all the drops of your beautiful spirit and nourish my own. Today, I release this. What's yours is yours. What's mine is mine. I am willing and able to leave this person with all the traps behind. She no longer serves me or the person I am becoming. Letting go of codependency allows me to fill myself up with the drops of my own soul. Your drops were never enough because they weren't meant for me. They were meant for you. I'm sorry for stealing your drops. I had believed, truly believed, that they were meant for me, that I needed them. I can see clearly now, as you grow, expand, and bloom, that I had kept you malnourished. I do not need to relive this lesson. I have to learn how to drink from the depths of my own soul. I need to know and trust that by finding the well deep within me, I find the fully fulfilled and satisfied version of myself. I can feel it. It's bright, calm, and peaceful like a brook, yet plentiful like a waterfall. Endless." And so, yeah, I'm reading you that poem from my journal, but it's also in my book, Healing the Mother Wound. And yeah, it's interesting to thumb through some of these first pages that were written when I was, you know, traveling with Justin on that trip. And yeah, like here, I saw her name, the sweet messages coming through, the smile on your face. Deep down, I want this for you just as much as I want it for me. My ego still wanted to push through and cause me grief and pain. Oh, gosh. Yeah, that was hard. That was a hard trip, but it definitely set me on the path of learning more about what codependency was. Like I said in that poem, like, I was seeing it everywhere and I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know what it was. But when I was looking it up, I was like, fuck it, me. Like, that is me. I do those things. And that was super, super helpful for me to begin to unravel, uncover, and tend to my unresolved trauma that, quite honestly, I thought I did. Like, I was like, I forgive my parents. I have a great relationship with my parents. I've done so much healing around the abuse that took place. But I didn't realize how much was still left undone. I didn't know how much was still, like, rooted deep, deep in me. Like, how much needed to be pulled up through the soil. And so, yeah, it was a beautiful mirror at that time. And over the next few months, I basically would go through my dark night of the soul, which was fucking longer than a night. It was months and months of darkness and sadness and being in a tumultuous situationship with someone who was continuously a mirror for me as well. And every time I saw Justin, he was like fucking the happiest, like loudest, biggest, like he just looked like a ball of sunshine. And I was like, my fucking outfit right now. I mean, I still live in this type of outfit. Like, I wear all black all the time. Like, I was the Grim Reaper and Justin was the freaking sun. And I didn't hate him or loathe him for it. I was so happy for him because I will always have endless amounts of love for that, for him, at always. I don't care what happens ever. Like, I will always have a fountain of love for that man. And so it wasn't like I was upset that he was so happy, but I think that it really set in for me how much of how I was and how I treated him and how I related to our relationship kept me from seeing that in him, right? Like, I was the damp blanket over his flame. And quite honestly, I was the damp blanket over my fucking flame too. Like, I was just constantly putting us in this place of judgment and comparing ourselves to others, or comparing our relationship to others. And like, that's why I pressed the marriage and the ring, because since tending to a lot of my unresolved trauma, I don't actually relate to like marriage or needing rings and things like that in the same way. I think they're beautiful. I think they are a beautiful representation of love. And I think they're a beautiful way that we get to celebrate people's love. Please don't get me wrong. I think marriage and weddings and dresses and rings are such a beautiful and symbolic expression of love. And I don't want to discredit that by any means. So please, if you are out there in love and engaged or married and all of the things, I think it's fucking beautiful. I think it's so, so fucking beautiful. I just don't know if I relate to it in the same way. And that's just it. I don't think that there's a right way or a wrong way. But I had put all of these ideas or ideals onto my relationship without actually checking first with myself. Like, is this true for me? Or is this just pressure that I feel from something outside of me? And that affected our relationship. So, like I said, I'm not going to get into the trauma bond that happened in that time. But I will say that every time I saw Justin in that time that we were apart, we were very much like orbiting different types of energies. Like, he was really a lot more joyful and playful, and I was a lot more fucking depressy and not very fun to be around. I was crying a lot and feeling really sorry for myself. It was really interesting though, because after a while, I had started to pull myself out of that energy. I had done a lot of soul retrievals with myself. I had found shadow work. I had started doing a lot of inner child work through the soul retrievals that I was doing. I didn't even know they were soul retrievals at the time. I was doing a lot of meditating, and a lot was coming up through just being guided by my ancestors and my spirit team. And so there was a lot of healing taking place. And then that's when I was able to see the situationship for what it was. And I was like, I really need to get myself out of this and get out of this toxic pattern that I'm in with this person, even though those toxic patterns were so helpful because I saw all of the ways that I acted, because I was able to really clearly see all of my like toxic traits too. But it was during this time where I'd finally like anchored into this really peaceful place where I was like, okay, I feel so much more sovereign. I understand myself in a deeper way. I'm devoted to this work. I'm going to continue to tend to it. I don't need someone to be in a relationship with me to feel loved. Like, I am really beginning to fill that cup for myself. It was when I felt full, when I wasn't expecting anything, when I wasn't grasping for external validation or relationships to validate that I was lovable. It was at that moment where Justin actually came back in. So like I said, we would see each other occasionally here and there. But at this moment, for whatever reason, Justin decided to really lay it out and say, I want to be with you. I love you. I've never stopped loving you. I want to make this work. And he was drunk at the time. And I was sober. So I took it with a grain of salt. I gave him a hug and told him I really appreciated what he had said and that, you know, his actions were really not aligned with his words because, like, he was doing his own thing. And he was like, I totally get it. I'm going to show you. I'll show you. I'm going to show you that you are the person that I want to be with. And I was like, sounds good. You know, didn't really hold on to it, which is interesting because I would normally like cling to it, right? Like, okay, now I'm going to force it. I'm going to put myself in spaces where he sees me. So he has to show me. And I didn't do any of that. I just let it be. I went home that night and didn't think about it, didn't ruminate on it, didn't obsess about it, which is kind of my tendency to obsess and fixate and kind of try to covertly manipulate the situation in order to make it happen. And I just peacefully went home and continued to do what I had been doing, which was a lot of journaling and a lot of meditating and pouring into my work and pouring into myself and nourishing my body with food. Like, I was really starting to come home to myself. Then he approaches me again, this time sober, and he shared with me, you know, I remember what you said that night, and I do mean it. I needed some time and I've been reflecting and I do want to try and do this. Like, I do want to be with you. I think that I could be the perfect person for you. I want to be the perfect person for you. You are the perfect person for me. We make each other better. I want to help each other grow and I want that. And it was just really refreshing to hear him say some of the things that he had said. And I felt truth. I felt this alignment. I felt this resonance with him. I had always felt safe with Justin. I had always felt connected to him. I knew our love was very special. And I truly did feel like we could have a really beautiful life together. However, you have to remember why we broke up, right? We broke up because we wanted different things. I didn't stop wanting to have children. So I just told him, you know, you have to remember that we didn't break up because there was a lack of love. Like, that wasn't the reason. It was just that fundamentally we wanted different things. So, like, what's changed? And he, you know, asked if we could meet up, like if we could go on dates, if we could kind of talk about these things. And we did like a little courting, which we never did. Like, you know, when we got together, we were friends, we spent every day together. So there wasn't really any, you know, dates or anything like that. It felt like a fresh start. I had learned through those dates just how much work he had been doing. And I also got to share about how much work I had been doing. And it was really cool to see how different our past had been. The way that he was learning about himself was very different than the way that I was learning about myself. But still, we were able to bring to the table some of the things that we were uncovering about our patterns and about what went wrong in our relationship and what we would do differently if we were to do it again. And the moment I knew that I was willing to step into it again with him was when he had said, if we're going to do this again, we need to do it radically different. It needs to be nothing like how we did it last time. And so I want to know, what are we going to do that makes this time different? And it was that like masculine structure that my feminine just kind of like softened into, because I've always been very much like masculine in the way that I relate to the world around me. Like, I'm a control freak. I would say distorted masculine too. Kind of like a control freak, very rigid, needing to like map out every single detail. And so I hadn't really like allowed myself to tune into that feminine like creativity and flow and allow myself to be held, really. Like I've always kind of been the one doing the holding. And so I felt like he had really stepped forth by articulating that to me, because it was like, yes, okay, like we do want to do this differently. We do believe that there is a better way to hold ourselves in a relationship. And what are we going to bring to the table in order to do that? And some of those pillars were, you know, deep, intimate conversations about our dreams and our desires, having this open dialogue and this open communication. And another piece was like transparency, especially in the beginning. I think it's, you know, especially always, but in the beginning, there was a lot of broken trust because I had basically immediately upon breaking up, got into a relationship with somebody else. And with him, he had like seen a lot of people. And so I kind of constantly had in the back of my head, like that maybe there was somebody else at this party that he wanted to get with, or that maybe he had already gotten with. And there was just a lot of insecurities that were coming up for both of us in very different ways. And so that first few months when we got together was, I will call, like a shadow period. Our shadow selves were leading the show. Our shadow selves were taking the lead in everything. We were very activated, very triggered by each other. We were probably the meanest that we have ever been to each other, ever, ever, ever. Like the things I said to him during that time were atrocious. The things that he said to me during that time were just like someone taking a sword and stabbing me in the heart. It was a very, very, very dark time. But I will say that every single time that had happened, we didn't walk away from each other. We walked towards each other and we acknowledged and took responsibility for what was said and what was coming up. Like we really sat with each other and said, you know, I said this and this is why I said that and this is what's coming up and this is what I need. Like it was a lot of transparency. And actually, there was a tool that we really anchored into during that time that I have shared with tons of clients, and it's really supported them as they're healing their relationship with their partners as well. So I'll be doing a bonus podcast episode for Codependency Alchemy, the membership, which you can find on Substack for paid subscribers. It will be a podcast episode going into the tool that Justin and I used to help rebuild trust in the beginning of our relationship, because if we hadn't had that in the beginning, I don't know that we would have been able to move through that first half of our relationship, because it was so triggering and activating for both of us. If we didn't do this and have this tool, I just don't know that we would have built that trust with each other enough to actually soften and be fully in the relationship in a way that was supportive for both of us. If you don't want to miss the bonus episode, make sure that you join our Substack community and the membership, which is $9 a month or $90 for the year. And the membership doesn't only get you private podcast episodes, but you also get 2 virtual meetups, a masterclass, and a group coaching call where we sit on a Zoom room together, face to face, to navigate and heal codependency in our life and our relationships. It is the most favorite thing that I do, because there is nothing like being in a room with you guys and getting to witness to you and support you and hear your stories and feel not alone in this shit. Am I right? It's so, so powerful, and I hope to see you guys there. So I want to leave this episode with something I had wrote in my journal literally days. This was on December 15th, 2019. And Justin and I had our first conversation where he had said, you know, when he was sober, he had said that he wanted to explore things. And that's when we started going on dates. That was on December 22nd. Like I said, days, like a week after I had wrote this. And I want to share it because there's so much power in writing and speaking your truth and the portal it creates for manifestation. And so I wrote, "To the divine, thank you for all you have shown me. Thank you for placing beautiful souls on my path to show me the path that led me back to myself. Thank you for making that path so enticing that I had no other choice but to curiously explore it with wonder. Although the path seemed to lead to nowhere at times, and although it was dark and scary at certain points, I have learned that you will always lead and direct me to exactly where I am meant to go. That sometimes the only way is through the shit. I feel an overwhelming amount of freedom and trust in the unknown for once. There is this knowing that gifts come to me exactly when they are meant to, and I get to rejoice when they end up at my feet, and bask in gratitude. I am comfortable in the unknown, and also know my worth. I refuse to accept love that is anything but unconditional. Spirit, my wish is to come into union and alignment with the person that is meant for me, whoever that may be. I trust you will make it clear to me. Please align me to the person who is vibrating at the same frequency as me. Thank you for allowing me closure and peace in the ones I love in those connections. I am ready for what is next, and I respect its divine arrival. 7 days later. 7 days later. And I share that poem because that's surrender, right? That is allowing yourself to be in the frequency of gratitude, trust, and surrender. And that's when magic happens. I love you all so much, and I hope you have a beautiful day. I'll see you next week.